We're holding at the top of Pei Tes Amud Aleph, the second line. The Mishnah talked about the various cases of kodal, where you have a rumor going around that a woman is mekodesh or megurash or whatever, and what the implications of that are. So the rest of the Gemara is also going to be talking about these various aspects of kodal. Amud Rava, yotzal Hashem mezaneh be'ir, if there's a rumor going around about a pnuya in town that she was mezaneh, in chosh, that's what Rashi says, that we're talking about a pnuya. That she was mezaneh, for example, with somebody who would passel her from marrying a kohen. In Choshishin law, we're not concerned about such a rumor. We don't give it any credence to say that in fact she is also to marry a kohen. My timer, Chitzusab Alma Udechazula. Because what must have happened is the basis of this rumor is probably they saw her acting in a princess-like way. Rashi says, for example, she was playing around with people laughing around or whatever with people in the street, near Fulab and Dadea, maybe somebody touched her inappropriately, but whatever. The point is there wasn't necessarily any actual news. So therefore you have to see this news. Yeah, not the actual news. You don't have to literally see it, but at least you have to see something stronger than that, yeah. Ketanoi, the Gemara points out, this is actually like a Macholgis Tanoim. A Bryce says, Ochol Bashuk, if you see a woman who eats in the street, which is a priestess-like thing to do. For a man, it's also. For a man, we'll learn in Kiddushin that the Ochol Bashuk is a Dreamer Lakel. A person who eats in the street is like a dog and toss the ledges. We'll get to that at the end. When we get to Ed Beth Hashem, we'll talk about in a little more detail what the Ashwin will talk about, the criteria of it. But anyway. So she's eating in the shuk, Girgura Bashuk, or Girgura. Rashi says in the Lashon Goro, in the neck. So it means like she's walking with an outstretched neck. Like, and again, in a very princess-like way. There are other Rishonim who learn that Girgura means she acted like a Gargaron, which means like a gluttonous person. One example of it is, for example, somebody else has food and you go and grab it from them and start eating it. That would be an example of Girgura. Anyway, Hinika Bashuk, or another example, a woman nurses in the street. Bekulin, Rameyer Omer Teseh, all of these cases, Rameyer says she has to get divorced. We have to assume that where there's smoke, there's fire, there must be something going on over here. Rabbi Kiva says, not just when he sees this thing, Mishayisu v'yitnu am Moses v'lavana. Only once you have the women who sit by moonlight to spin wool or linen or what have you, Adshayisu v'yitnu, that means they discuss her, Moses, the women who spin v'lavana by moonlight. They sit at night, so they sit together. They sit together at night to spin. Yeah, we talked about it in Sota. They sit together at night to spin wool or linen or what have you. Meanwhile, they schmooze about current events. So the mayor is saying just the fact that you saw that she was eating or gugra or whatever it is already that itself is enough reason to divorce her. Rabbi Akiva is saying that you need that the Moses Volavana already are discussing her. Then we know it's serious enough. Yisu v'yitna means they give and take. Like maso matan, give and take. They're discussing, in other words. But omelet Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, then we have a third opinion. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, Im Kain, if you're going to say like that, there's not going to be left a Jewish woman who's able to stay with her husband. Meaning, in other words, because anybody has, and everybody, people have enemies who start spreading rumors about them on the basis of very little or nothing. But Torah Amr Ki Matzah Ba'erev Asdavar. Now the Torah says that when one of the men has to divorce his wife, or supposed to divorce his wife, when he finds an Erev Asdavar, an improper matter. And the word Dover, Ulahalan Oimer, Apichnaim Edim, Apichlesh Edim, Yachim Dover. We make Zeder Shavar from the word Dover, we learned about this at the beginning of Sota. Malahalan, so therefore Malahalan Dover Boru. So just like when a case in Beis Din can't just be based on rumors or whatever, you need two or three Edim, you need solid evidence. Afkan Dover Boru, the same thing over here, you need solid evidence. Two or three. Shnayim Edim or Shlosha Edim. So the same thing over here, you need solid evidence to make it that her husband should have to divorce her. It means two or three. There's a discussed. There's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Marcus that tells us that if two already are valid as Edus, what do you need three? The point is that if you have three people coming together as one Edus, then it means, for example, for the purpose of Hazama, if you want to make them Edim Zomin, you have to be able to be Mazim all three of them. If one of them turns out to be Apostle, all of them are Apostle, etc. It's considered one unit. Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah. So the point is you have, so Rava is saying that you're not choishish about shame mezana be'ir. That goes according to Yechon ben Nuri, who says that just the fact that there's a shame, even Moses v'lavana, we ignore all that unless there's solid evidence.
Rabbi Meir is.
Rabbi Meir is being strict about it. So Rav is going like Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri. Now, what do you mean? I'm Tosef al Tigra. I mean, there's not a question of Tosef and Tigra. We're not adding and subtracting to Mitzvah. Rav Meir is saying that once you have rumors, not rumors. Rav Meir is saying once we see that she's doing these priestessika things, we have already reason to suspect that something may be going on over here. Now, so with that said, Tosef says that actually we're not just talking about any husband and wife, because fine, even if his wife, unless we have solid, a Yisrael's wife, unless she's actually Mizaneh, is not also Tam anyway. We know that even if it was Ba'onis, she's still Motzah Tam. Rather, Tosef says we're talking about over here about a Kohen. Namely, Tosef explains, we're not talking about, now, the previous Gemara had said that in any case, a Kol Debosim Nisurin, we started by saying that Rav Ashi had said, Kol Debosim Nisurin, that a Kol that comes out about a woman after she's married, we ignore anyway. So, Rashi is learning, therefore, that Rashi is learning that we're talking about over here that we're talking about a pnuya. The question is it, do we suspect that she was mizana on this basis or not? Rav Meir says yes, and therefore she might be possible to marry a kohen. So Tosfos says somewhat similarly. We're talking about over here it is kodem nisurin because if it was achad nisurin, if it was she's already married, of course we would ignore it. It's bosim nisurin. Rav Ashi already said that. It means it's kodem nisurin. But the point is, how is a kohen supposed to know about any rumors that were going around about his wife before he ever married her that he should now be careful to not marry her? You can't say that, and you can't say that now he should have known, and therefore he should have to divorce her. So therefore, Rav Yochanan Nuri says you need actual evidence. Tanarabanan continues the Braisa. The Gemara says, more cases of rumors that we don't worry about. Ula in Choshesh and La. If there's a rumor that a woman had relations, that up until now, in other words, we knew that she was a Pnuya, we knew that she was a Psula, and now there are rumors going around she's a Psula, she's a Ula. In Choshesh and La, we're not worried about it. The Rashi says, meaning, in other words, she's even allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Even though a Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah to marry a Psula, he'd still be able to marry her. Because again, like we said before, maybe there was priestess going on, but not necessarily anything more serious than that. Tosfos says differently. We're talking about if it were true that she had relations, unless we knew, as we learned back in Ksuvos, we had a sugya over there about unless it's Tre Rubi, unless it's the majority of people in town and the majority of people who are anywhere near her are both traitors, then you have to be concerned that she had relations with apostles, and therefore that she'd be also to marry a Kohen. So that's what we'd be talking about, a similar thing over here. We're not talking about the question of, is she allowed to marry a Kohen God, or we'd be talking about the question, is she allowed to marry any Kohen? If we're saying that we ignore the rumors, then we say, then what we mean is we don't have to worry about it.
Even if she's happened before when she was married.
This is talking about before she was married. If it was after she was married again, Rav Ashi already said
that. If she's married to one, I understand, but if she has relations, that makes her...
Because if she has relations with a Nothin or a Mamzer or any other person who's also to marry her, makes it possible to marry a Kohen. She's considered a Zayin now, yeah. Nesua in Choshen Law. Yeah, also a Goy, yeah. Also, if there's a rumor that she was married again, we knew up until now she was a penuria, and now all of a sudden rumors are going around that at some point previously she got married in Christian love, and we're not concerned about that. I go to Boston with a different gears over here that Nesua means something else. That some of these things that we're talking about are specifically talking about a Nesua for reasons that we said before, because we're not worried about Koilus about a Nesua. Arusa in Choshen Law, if there's rumors saying that she's in Arusa for some time, also in Choshen Law, we're not concerned about it, for reasons the Gemara is going to say soon, that all in the case of our Mishnah, where we said that there's a rumor that she's Mekudeshes, there has to be circumstantial evidence to go along with it. In these cases, there isn't any of that. Shaloi Leplani in Choshen Law, if there's a rumor that she's Mekudesh today, but there's no mention of a name of a Chosin, it's just people just say Niskatra, in Choshen Law, then we're also not concerned. The Iracheres in Choshen Law, if the rumor is that the Kedushin took place in a different city, then we're not worried about it. But yeah, why is the rumor only in here? Why is the rumor not in that city? Why is it only over here? Also, some Mephoroshim say, because the reason is, because if you don't have a mention of Pliny, or you only have the Iracheres, that's somebody from another city, Mela, if they mention an actual name, the rumor is going around, she was Nefkadish to Pliny, fine, she can get a get from Pliny to be on the safe side and be able to marry somebody else. If the rumor is only that she was Nefkadish without giving a cousin's name, or the Iracheres, again, without giving a cousin's name, what's she supposed to do? She's supposed to be stuck because of a rumor? So then we say we ignore the whole thing.
You could buy a friend without a mimicker, but you can't.
That there is that, right. What else? Mamzeres and Choshen Lor. If there's a rumor that she's a Mamzeres, we don't worry about it. Shivcha and Choshen. No, well, again, we're talking about that up until now. We knew she was a kosher, a Jewish woman. She was a Pnuya. Now all of a sudden rumors start going that she's a Mamzeres. We don't worry about it. Shivcha and Choshen Lor. If there's a rumor that she's a Shivcha, we don't worry about it.
What should we worry about?
Because what do you mean? If she was a Shivcha, she'd be also to marry a Yid. We're saying we don't worry about it, meaning that she can go marry whoever she wants. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Hick, another example, not having to do with marriage. Hiftish Pliny Nechasev. If a rumor is going around that Pliny declared his property Hektish, or Hiftir Pliny Nechasev, or that Pliny declared his property Hektir, also in Choshen Lahan. Also, we're not concerned about such rumors. As far as Arusa and Choshen Lahan, by the way, Tosfos points out, we said that Nisua and Choshen Lahan, that we have rumors that up till now we knew she was a Pnuya, and all of a sudden rumors are going around at some previous point she became a Nisua. Fine, of course not. But if she was a Nisua, you would know about it. There wouldn't just be rumors. There would be solid evidence of it. There would be witnesses, etc. Even in Arusa, where it's not so famous, nevertheless in Choshen. Amar Ola, Loisha Shamu Kol Havara. All this that we're talking about when we're saying in our Mishnah that rumors have a certain validity, it's not just talking about that there's rumors without anything backing them up. Elakadishu neiras dokus. It means that there were candles lit in the house, as it usually happens. And you have to remember kiddushin in those times. I mean, back then they did kiddushin a year before the nisuin, usually, right? Kiddushin in those days was more like a vort nowadays, like a vort or like a l'chaim nowadays. They made a big deal out of it usually. So therefore, so they have
contracts.
Kedushin, technically, you don't need a contract. All you need is kesef shtar rabia, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. You could have a shtar. You don't have to. You don't have to. You could just as well do kedushin harayat mekudeshesli, and he gives her a ring. But with witnesses, yeah. But they just like nowadays. So what happened? I mean, if you think about the seder advarim, it used to be they had the kedushin. That was the first stage. Up until then, there was nothing between them at all. Now there's the kedushin. A year later, usually, is the nisuin, because that gave them time to prepare the wedding. The problem develops that what happens after kedushin, you need a get in order to be matzah them to each other. What happens in over the length of the galus, it's happened any number of times that between an engagement and a wedding, the couple gets scattered, the pogrom or whatever, you know, and one ends up at this end of the world and the other ends up at that end of the world. That's why they started making the concept you have the kedushin right before the nisuin, as we do it. You do them both under the chuppah. Now, though, you still need, at some point before that, you need some kind of guarantee that this couple is going to get married. Otherwise, what are you preparing a wedding for? So they came up with the concept of the tznayim. So there used to be that tznayim were done a year or some years even before the wedding.
Yeah, 9 months.
Right. So in many places, like you said, they still do that. In other places, though, they realized eventually there's a different problem with it. True, after tznayim, you don't need a divorce or anything like that. On the other hand, tznayim is a pretty serious undertaking. We're guaranteeing that Pliny is going to marry Plinius. There's usually monetary penalties involved or whatever. Again, what happens is circumstances change over that 9 months or a year or whatever, and you can't. So what do you do then? So, and breaking up tonight is a pretty serious thing also, even if you don't formally need a get. That's why the minhag developed that we have nowadays in Lubavitch and in some other kreisen, that what you do is you have the engagement. You have the l'chaim, the whatever you want to call it. There's nothing official then, nothing official is signed, no such thing. You start preparing for the wedding.
Nothing's binding.
Maybe you make a Kenyan sudra, but that's about it. Later on, right after Kabbalah's planim, by the wedding is when you have the official tznayim signed and a Kenyan sudra made, and then shortly after that you're going to the chuppah, and that way you're covered.
Matter of 2 hours.
Yeah.
The tznayim that the people do, that binding to a point where it could be questionable about if this were a kind of get scattered.
So usually that tznayim is done right before the chuppah is done.
Right. But people that don't do.
People don't. They do it months in advance.
Right.
But fine, I guess they could.
One chashash.
The chashash is just that if it happens, they get scattered or whatever, then one or the other side has broken their agreement. We agreed, we made a Kenyan soda or whatever, that this is going to happen. Okay, you could argue it's an oinus.
There's no condition
they
can make that if something happens, like a
okay. Yeah, okay. So, back in those times, going back now to the times of the Gemara, before you had all of this, you had Kiddushin was the first stage of things, and then Nisuin, and they happened a year apart. So the Kiddushin, they would make a big deal out of, just like nowadays, they make a big deal out of a vart. So, you have candles burning, you have beds for sitting on or laying on, whatever, reclining on from your couches, let's say, prepared, and people are going in and out of the house, and people are saying, Plinus Miskadesh, Plinus is getting Miskadesh today. That's the kind of rumor we're talking about. Miskadesh, this is the Dimalei Kadcha. Okay, they're saying she's going to get Miskadesh. Well, maybe it didn't end up happening. Rather, you have to change it. Plinus Niskadcha, the rumor that's going around after that is that she was Miskadesh today. That's the kind of rumor that the Mishnah is saying you need to give some credence to, even if you don't have actual evidence of it beyond what people are saying. The Chen Tony Levi, and Levi taught the same thing in a Braisa. Lo Shishmu Kol Lavora doesn't just mean a rumor. Elakshu Neris Dokus Amitas Matos. He adds another detail. Venoshim Tobus La'ora Neris Smechus La. You have the women, these same women that we talked about before, the town yentas, who usually sit with their spinning and talk about the news.
They do.
Yeah. They're sitting over there. Well, La'ora Ner, actually. They're sitting not by moonlight, but they're sitting by candlelight with Smechus La, and they're happy for her. But Amos, and they're saying, Plinus Miskadesh Sayyayayayay. And again, the same question of the Lashon Niskadesh is for Dumalei Kadcha. Again, Amra Papa Ema Plinus Niskadcha. Same idea. But you have, there's not just rumors, there's actually, you can see, there's a simcha going on.
What's the spinning by they don't spin
it? I guess they spun more at night, I don't know. I guess during the day, they were busy with other housework. Nighttime, I guess, was the time to do this. Amar Abba B'chon Amar B'yechon, a similar idea. Lo Shishamu Kol Havara. No, as I said, Amra Papa Ema Plinus Niskadcha. Again, not that you had a rumor, you have candles burning, and couches set up for a party, so now, at that point, if they say anything, if they say, with all of the simcha that's going on, you actually have people saying, Zehu Koil, that's what we mean by a koil, as opposed to, Loi Omru Dover Zehu Amasla. But if they don't say anything, if you see there's a simcha going on in her house or in her father's house or whatever, but nobody comes out saying afterwards, Plinus Miskadesh Hayom, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that's not considered a koil, that's considered what our Mishnah called an amasla, a reason that the koil maybe is not valid. Because the very fact that they're not saying anything implies maybe the condition didn't take place. So he says, what do you mean? Of course they didn't say anything. Well, they didn't say anything. There's neither koil nor is there an amasla. Why should we be concerned maybe she was in Scottish? The answer is, the point of what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is, they didn't say anything. The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us not like the shita of Rav Bar Avona, the Omar which he says on Omar Beis, Amasla Sh'omra Afilu Mikan Vad Yud Yomim, that the Amasla can even be as much as 10 days after the original curl. So if you have an original curl, let's say that she was Miskadesh, 10 days later, let's say you had an Amasla, that it was a Kedushin Al Tanai, or it was a Kedushin by throwing or whatever, then we're saying that it's Mavasal the curl. Kamash Malon, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell us. Loy Omru Hu Dehav Yamasla. No. If they don't say anything at the time, then it can be considered a valid Amasla. Ha Omru, like, meaning in other words that people come out of the Simcha Hall, but they're not saying that she was actually Miskadesh. As opposed to Ha Omru Loy Hav Yamasla, but if they say right now when they come out she was Niskadesh, then even if afterwards other people come and say, you know what, it was a Kedushin via Zrika and maybe it didn't land close to him or whatever, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that no, we ignore that. The curl and the Amasla, the Shoiber, have to come together, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us.
The same house and the problem with the
No, whatever the scenario is exactly. I mean, it could be that it took place outdoors, you know, whatever. It could be a Kedushin Al Tanai, whatever, you know.
You're speaking Amasla, it's a negative.
Amasla literally means an excuse. Statement. It means an excuse. So it's like something that takes away from the validity of the curl.
Right.
So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. If you have that people didn't come out saying that she was Niskadesh at all, then it means, in other words, they didn't actually do. There's no definitive koil over here because why aren't people saying anything? Because there may have been kedushin al tanai or something. Either it was a simcha and everything doesn't matter. They didn't actually say. But if they say Plinus Niskadesh Hayom, later on they don't have the ability to come and say. But you know what? It was al tanai or zrika or what have you.
Give us an example of that.
What we just said, for example, there was Kedushin, but it was Al-Tanai, and the Tanai didn't get fulfilled. Or there was a Gerushin, but it was Al-Tanai. Or was a Gerushin, it was Megarushin, but he threw her the get, and it didn't land closer to her. Whatever. So loy amru dehavi amasla, only if they didn't say anything, there's a valid amasla. Ha amru loy havi amasla, but if they did say anything, then you can't have an amasla afterwards. Amr of Abba, Amr of Huna, Amr Rav. Another din, loy shashamu kol havara. It's not, when we say a rumor, we don't just mean that there's a rumor without any foundation. Ela kadesh yomru, ploini mehecham shamu mitploini, it's that it can be traced back. People will say, ploini heard it from ploini, or ploini mitploini, and he heard it from ploini, or boitkin vahochan achamagim ledavar abarer. And you check back until you find a clear source for it. What do you mean? Dover Abora Aedus Malleus. So in that case, if you can trace it back to a clear source, to two Aedim, you don't need a Kotel, then it's considered a real Aedus. By the way, Tosfos points out that not necessarily is Rav disagreeing with all these statements over here about Simcha. There are two different things. That if you have a Simcha going on, you have Nerus Dokus and Mitzvahs Metzalis or whatever, then you don't need to be able to trace it back to a Dover Abora. The fact that you have an obvious Simcha going on, and people are saying Plonus Niskachayim, even if you can't trace it back to an original source, that's considered a valid enough curl. Rav is talking about the scenario where you didn't know there was Simcha going on. There's no Nerus Dokus, no nothing, but you're able to trace it back to an original valid source, then it's also considered a valid curl. Yeah, well, that's the question. If you have Dover Abor on the face of it, it means Aedus Malleus. Ella, no. He also said of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Amar Rab. We have to correct that a little bit. Lo Shmuel Kol Lavora. We're not just talking about that there was a rumor going around. Ella Kadesh Yom Pliny Yehem Eichan Shami Pliny. It's that you can say that Pliny heard from Pliny or Pliny from Pliny. However, Vehochol Lahem LeMedina Sayam. However, those original people from whom the whole thing started are away in Medina Sayam, so we can't interrogate them now. If we could interrogate them, yeah, Aedus now, you see, then you don't need a Kol, then you have actual Aedus. But if they're all from Medina Sayam, nevertheless, we're saying the fact that you're able to trace it back to an original clear source is still considered. It still makes it considered a valid curl. By the way, the interesting thing, Sam Sofer talks about the question over here: Do you need? This really belongs to the next piece of Gemara. They're talking about whether a curl is valid if it starts out from women. The Chassam Sofer wants to argue that a curl can only be valid even if you have two Aedim, let's say, right now, giving the curl, you still have to be. It still has to be traceable back to two original Aedim. Otherwise, why are these Aedim, where are they getting them from? From women, from children, or whatever, that's not valid Aedus. But then he says, his Rebbe, the Baal HaFla, says differently. So he says, in that case, I talk to disagree, but I'm about my daf because of his. In that case, you don't need to be able to trace it back to two original kosher Aedim. As long as you can trace it back to the original source, it doesn't matter who that original source was. That's how that flaw learns.
Can we question the girl? Self-ask, explain what's going on.
We can. There is a lot of discussion. There's a lot of discussion among the Achronim, the whole scenario over here. Are we talking about where she's denying it, or are we talking about where she admits it? Where she admits it? So yeah. Okay. If you have rumors like this going around, now let's say, for example, Rashi says, you have, let's say, women and children are spreading these rumors. Do we have a responsibility to be mevatel that curl? The fact is, we're talking about the scenario is the original people with whom it all started are away. They're away in Medina Sayam. So maybe, or let's say, Rashi gives another example, let's say those Edim came back to Medina Sayam, and you talk to bring them to Beis Din, and they said, we don't know what you're talking about. We never said any such thing. Should we be mevatel the curl, or tell these people stop spreading this rumor, or lay mevatel it, or should we not?
Sure.
Well, Amalei, mi de Amar Rav Chista ad Yishmu, fi Aksherim, since Rav Chista had said that a curl is only if it started from Aksherim, that people who are actually kosher leidus, they're just away in Medina Sayam, then that implies that after all, if we find after all that those Edim didn't say it, then yeah, we're mevatel the curl.
Aksherim
means Edim, Aksherim, yeah.
Yes,
so we actually make an announcement. Let's say, for example, this case that there's a rumor that in Skatra, we actually, if we eventually find these Aedim and they say we never said any such thing, then we're mevatel the curl in a sense. You actually says we make a public announcement. This curl is invalid. Stop spreading it. And this woman can marry whoever she wants. She doesn't need to get anything.
Basically,
does that, yeah.
And if they cannot go back because it's Yom Rizal.
So that's the. No, so. No, so that's what Rashi is saying. You have two possibilities. One is where the Medina, the original Edom are available or unavailable because they're in Medina Siyam. Then we're asking, should we move out to the Kuril? The other possibility is, let's say they came back and they said, we never said. So both possibilities, Rashi is saying.
Which one? The title of the first one just says.
Now, Tosfos says that actually I don't really like Rashi's first explanation. If the Edom aren't available, that's not necessarily reason enough to be involved with the Kuril. If they come back and said, we never said it, that's different.
So if they're not available,
then Tosfos would hold that.
Who else speaks for them?
What do you mean? Well, no, so you have, in other words, Reuben and Shimon. In other words, what do? We trace it back. We based in here is that, you know, based in here is that Rachel and Leah are spreading this rumor. So they call them in, and Rachel and Leah say, we heard it from Yosef and Binyamin. Who did Yosef and Binyamin hear it from? God and Asher. We go back until we trace it back to Reuben and Shimon. Okay, where are Reuben and Shimon? They went out of town. Rashi's first explanation is that'll be reason enough to be mivatel the Kuril, the fact that those that Reuben and Shimon are not available. Rashi's second explanation is that's not enough reason to be mivatel the Kuril. Not contradict. They're not there. They're not present. Only if they come. In the second case, is they actually come back. They call Reuben and Shimon into Beis Din, knew what's going on over here. We never said it such thing.
Right, there's no problem.
That's the second one. The first one is where they're not available.
So Rashi's first
explanation in Rashi is that we still cancel the Kuril.
Tosfos
disagrees.
Because
that's not a valid enough reason. Because based on the continuation of the Gemara, because doesn't. So based on what Rav Chisda says, we should move off of it. Amale, so Abaya answers back to Rav Yosef. Adiraba, midu amar Rav Sheshes afilu mepinashim havekol. On the contrary, look at the fact that Rav Sheshes said that even if you hear a rumor from women, it's still considered a valid rumor. It's still considered a valid curl. Shemam and aleihem eflin and kola. That seems to show we're not mevatelit just based on the fact that we're only hearing it from women. Amale, so Rav Yosef tells him, actually, you should know asher vaseninu. There's actually different in different places. They have a different minhag. They have different shittas on the subject. The Surah Mavasli Kola, but Nahardala Mavasli Kola. In Surah, they hold you should be Mavasli Kola. In Nahardha, they hold you should not. So therefore, that fits with what we said before. So Rav Chisda lived in Surah. He was a Rosh Hashiva over there. Therefore, from his opinion, it comes out in Vatlinen Kola, which is what they used to do in Surah. Rav Sheshes lived in Nahardha, and therefore, in his area, they're not Mavasli Kola. One interesting thing, one of the Mephoshim says, the reason may have been because in Surah it was more common for rumors like that to be spread without any basis in the first place. So therefore in Surah it was a more likely thing to say the rumor probably doesn't have any basis. Whereas in Nahardha it was less likely.
How can they need two different decisions?
Because it's a different place. Why not? In the same way as nowadays, you have Sephardim versus Ashkenazim, you have different
things. Like this.
I mean, there's many things. There's lots of things in Hilchos Gittin where there's different opinions.
But if you track down two Edom, which say never happened, there wouldn't be about some of that.
No, so that's what we're saying. If you track them down and yeah, then if you track them down and they say they never said it, then yeah, that's the relation.
Even that city where they're not about.
Lakota, it sounds like, I guess, even yeah.
Today, for instance, you're able to track them down by phone. They have to come back, or they can. Testify overseas.
Whether they can testify overseas is a whole other question. That gets into the question of whether people can testify over the phone. That's a different question.
We don't see them. We don't see them.
Yeah. I mean, there are arguments on both sides of it. On the one hand, you're hearing their voice. You know it's them. On the other hand, maybe they have to appear in front of the basin. Okay.
Somewhere else.
Right? That's also true. Yeah, they can take, exactly, that's true. The other basin in the other place. Why not? Another basin in another place can take a GS ages from them. They can take a deposition from them and then forward it to the basin in town. Yeah. There was a certain woman who a rumor went out about her that she had been niskadish to a yeshiva, to a student in the yeshiva. After Rav Chama Lavur, so Rav Chama brought in her father. They tell them, tell me the background over here. Is she really niskadish or not? What happened was, this chassan, he was mekadisher, but only al tnai, adaita de le'ozel le'bechazai. The tnai was, the agreement was that he's going to be mekadesh my daughter on condition that he does not go to Beit Chazoi. Beit Chazoi is a place. It's nowadays it's where all the Iranian oil fields are.
They won't live there.
They won't visit there. Whatever. She didn't want him traveling out of town there. But Ozol, and he ended up going there. So therefore, in other words, the father is arguing yes, she was niskadesh. That's the basis of the rumors. But there was a tnai, and the tnai didn't end up getting fulfilled. He broke it. Since at the time the curl started spreading, that maskla didn't go along with it. Lav kol kminach, then we cannot believe you. The maskla is a maskla that you're going to be maskla because there's an maskla when we don't know of it before. Again, like Rabbi Yechanan has said before, the shita Rabbi Yechanan that we said before, that if the maskla doesn't come to begin with along with the curl, then you can't then you can't accept it. So therefore, she's going to need to get herself it. In other words, so that's according to Rabbi Yechanan, have to be the same time. We're going to learn on Amud Beis that there's another opinion. Rabbi Bar Avuna, who says that it can even be that it can even be 10 days later. Or yeah, the Rashba wants to say that when he says 10 days, it doesn't have to mean 10 days. Maybe even more. Okay. Another case. Ahid Nafakala Kolad Kadshab Asifa De Teichla. There was a rumor going around about a certain woman that she had been niskadish using the pulp from dates. What happens? Rashi describes like this. There's certain kinds of dates where you pick them off the tree when they're still not ripe yet. Then you put them in these holders made out of lulav leaves. We've talked about them in a few places here and there in the Masechtas that we've learned so far, in Shabbos they're mentioned, and some other places. You put them in such containers for a while in order to ripen some more. But they're also, because they're not fully ripe and they're not very good quality, therefore when you eat the date, some of the pulp ends up still sticking to the pit. So therefore you have a pit over there, which on the face of it isn't really useful for anything, but it has a little bit of the pulp of the fruit still attached to it. You can use them for animal food. Therefore, it's something that has value. It's something that you're able to be mekadesh with. And now there was a rumor that a woman had been mekadesh using some of these date pits. No, it was very specific. The kachabat sifra de teichla that she had been niskadish using these pits with the pulp still attached. The aruch has a different explanation that it means a keli full of shachlayim, full of cress, which is a vegetable. Anyway. The Einar de Beis Shifi, and that this happened at the well of Beis Shifi, name of place. A very specific woman. Shochor of Idi Ba'ovin Lechamei De'Abaya. So Rav Idi Ba'ovin sent the case to Abaya to ask him a shayla, ki hai gav namai. In a case like that, what's the din? Do we consider this to be a valid curl or not? Actually, even according to the opinion, even the way they do it in Nahauda, where they're not mevatel a curl, without a solid reason, the hum of Upman and Kola. In a case like this, we can be Mavakal the curl. We can tell people to stop spreading the rumor. Why? Memer Amri, because what's the whole reason why we don't want to be Mavakal the curl? Because we don't want people to think, hey, you know what, we've been talking about this woman that she's Miskadish, now the Chachamim are allowing her to marry somebody else, so obviously a woman doesn't need a get from Eresin. We don't want such things. However, in a case like this, Memer Amri, people are going to say to themselves, Ainu Guru Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. Leave it over here, son. Ainu b'hu rabbanan, the rabbanan checked into the situation, b'kidushah, into the kedushin, but they have a b'hu shavu krutah, and they found that the amount he gave her was not a shavu krutah. So in other words, there you have that people are not going to think afterwards when they see her getting married to somebody else, hey, she didn't need, see, kedushin don't require a get. They're going to say it was obviously never a valid kedushin in the first place. So that's reason enough that we can move out to the curve. No, because if it's less than a shavu krutah, it still doesn't mean anything. But the point is, no, the point is, in other words, like this. Here there's not, if there were actual edim of the kedushin who are available, that's different. Here there's no actual edim available. All there is a curl. What Abaye is saying is, because it's only a curl, and because in this case it's a curl where if we're mevatelet, it's not going to cause people to make a mistake in halacha, therefore we're able to be mevatelet. No, obviously there were edim, and again, they went to Medina Sayyam, or they're otherwise unavailable, whatever, yeah. But we don't know who the edim were, we're not yet. Another case, there was a woman who a rumor was going around that she had been niskadish to one of the sons of Pliny, but they didn't say which, he had many sons, they didn't say which one she was niskadish to. And again, again, even according to the opinion that usually we're not mevatel a kol, but hal mevatel a kol, in this case we can be mevatel it, meimer amri, because again, we can assume, we can allow that people will say, I know where Rabbanan the Kiddushin, that Rabbanan looked into the Kiddushin, the Kiddushin Kaptan Havu, and they found out that it was actually a Kaptan who was in the Kaddushin, which is not valid. So again, we have the ability to be mevatel this Kol without it causing that people are going to make a mistake in Halacha. Another case, There was a woman that rumors were going around that she had been Niskadish to a katan who looked like a gadol, meaning he was a katan, he was below 13 years old, but he was already, he looked like an adult. He was well developed, so he looked like he looked like a gadol, but physically he was a katan. There actually was such a case that I know of. And they said, doesn't matter. He still has not reached the divisions of Reuven. What does that mean? Shenema, the pasuk says, the flagus Reuven derlem chikrei lev. In the divisions of Reuven, there was great searching out of heart. The context of it is in Shiras Dvorah, that she's criticizing Shevet Reuven. How are you talking that you're sitting over there and searching out? Should we go to war? Should we not? And then you're sitting on the sidelines over there when we're fighting against Israel. The point of it is, derlem chikrei lev, there's great analysis and searching out of the heart, meaning in the words that what is a gadol? Somebody who has das. This child, even though he looks like a gadol, he doesn't have yet that. He doesn't have the plagas ruvin. He doesn't have the derlem chikrei lev, the great analysis and searching out of the heart. He doesn't have that kind of that degree of das yet. He's still a cotton. Cotton is a cotton.
Physically,
no, it doesn't matter. No, if he had two sides, above the age of 13, he wouldn't be considered a gadol. What we mean is, in other words, if you looked at him walking down the street, he looked like a gadol, but he either wasn't 13 or he didn't have shei sairus, because if he developed shei sairus before 13, it doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. His body may look like a gadol, but his mind is still the mind of a cotton. Interesting thing. Why are we so? No. That would be as far as Mechel Memker. That has nothing to do with Kedushin. Kedushin needs to be a gadol. Interesting explanation. Why are we associating this concept of being an adult with Reuven? Dafka, the Netziv says an interesting explanation about it. A cotton, usually, when he finds something, will bring it to his father. In the case of Reuven, when he found the Dudoyim, who did he bring it to? His mother. Why? Because he had the intelligence to realize, he was a cotton at the time, but he had the intelligence to realize that the Dudoyim was something his mother needs, not something his father needs. So therefore, so she needs them to win back Rasa, whatever. So therefore, we associate intelligence, we associate gas with Reuven specifically. He was a cotton, and yeah, this led to the conception and the birth of Yisachar. Yisachar is on all the Shvatim except Binyamin were born within about a 6-year period. So yeah.
How old was he at the time?
The Reuven, the most he could have been, 6, and Bepasher, he was a little younger, 4 or 5, whatever, yeah. Technically it does, but in this case, when he found the Dudayim, he brought him to Leah and Rachel after them, etc., yeah. Mishnah said, "Ravachalai teishem amasla." That a curl is only valid if there's no amasla. So, Amar Rav Bar Abuna, amasla shomer after the mekan ba'al asara yomim. Even if it's 10 days later, it's still a valid amasla, like we said on Aleph. Rav Zvid says even more than that. The mokum amasla choshishin la amasla. Even more than that. Even if there's no amasla, but if there's room for an amasla, if there's the capability of figuring out that there may be an amasla, then that itself is reason to choshish in la amasla that we can be concerned, and sometimes concerned in the Gemara means in a positive sense. We can use that as reason to say that there must be an amasla out there, and therefore that this curl is not valid. So what would be an example? The Makam Amasla. Let's say, for example, Taka in the case of Kedushin. Let's say we know the rumor is going around that there was Kedushin Zrika. Nobody is actually saying that it landed closer to him, which would not make it a valid Kedushin. But there's reason to assume that if it was Kedushin Zrika, that if he did the Kedushin by throwing her the Shavu Pruta, that maybe it landed closer to him. Okay. Eisver a popular Zid. Our Mishnah says, Rav Achalai Teisham Amasla. The Mishnah says there actually has to be an Amasla, not just the potential for one. So the Mishnah means where's the possibility of an Amasla. So again, the difference is, for example, if there's a rumor going around that Pliny was Mekadosh Pliny's with a gold ring, let's say, then there's no possibility. I mean, no matter what, we know he actually gave it to her, we know it's Shavu Pruta, there's no Amasla possible. Whereas for Zvika, if it was like the case in Anam and Aleph with the date pits or whatever, maybe it wasn't a Shavu Pruta, maybe, yeah. Kahana says to the Papa, what? You don't think that we try to look for a possibility for an Amasla? Well, it's not. We learn in a Mishnah. Leitisbra means you don't hold of this concept of Rav Zvid. Well, it's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Yevamos this scatcher, suppose you have a case, so the original case is a woman's husband went to Medina Fiyam. One aide comes and tells her your husband died. And we learned in Yavamas that's valid enough evidence for her to be able to get remarried on that basis. Now, so she goes in as Niskadish to somebody else, V'achakach Babayla, and then her husband returns, Muteres Machzor. She's allowed to return to her original husband, as opposed to if she had actually been married to the second guy, where then we learned all the penalties that apply to her, she takes the Mizeh Mizeh, the children of Mamzerim, etc., etc. Now, why should that be? Why, even though she was Niskadish to the second guy, we've usually, I mean, if her first husband had divorced her, let's say, and she's Niskadish to a second guy, we learned at the beginning of Yevamos, she's not allowed to return to her first husband. That's one of the cases that we learned from, that we actually had a machlokes about that, the machlokes tanoim about that, but the halacha is like the opinion that she's not allowed to. Why over here are we allowing? Lav Mishum Damin al Tanai Kaddish. Wouldn't it be because we should assume, even if we don't have an actual Hamasla, we should assume that maybe the Kedushin was done al Tanai? So therefore, you see that you try to find room for an Hamasla, even if there isn't any. Tanai could have been anything. It could have been any of the possible Tanoim that you could have in Kedushin. The same kind of Tanoim that we had in Gerushin, that we had in previous Perakim, as far as it gets, you can have similar Tanoim as far as Kedushin. And many others as well. We're going to have in condition when the next Masechta, we're going to have all kinds of tanoim that are possible.
So why would you assume in this case that there wasn't a Masechta?
What are we saying? We're saying that, so think of it, she was married to Reuven. Reuven was missing in action. So she went and was Niskadish to Shimon. Now, if Reuven had divorced her, she wouldn't, and she was Niskadish to Shimon, she wouldn't be allowed to return to Reuven. Yet here we're saying she was Niskadish to Shimon, we still allow her to go back to Reuven and stay married to him. How could that be? It must be because we're saying, yes, Shimon was Makadisher, but we're able to say, but maybe it was Al-Tanai, or maybe there was something else, some other Amasla. So you see that even though nobody has come up and said there was an Amasla, nobody has actually come up and said he was Makadisher Al-Tanai, we're basically create because there's a possibility of it. So the whole reason.
But nothing to suggest that.
Fine, but that's the point. Knew that's what Rav Zvi is saying. But Makam Amasla, Choshen Amasla.
Why do we say the Makam Amasla?
Because where there's a possibility of an Amasla. Again, suppose that he was Mekadesh her in our presence. He actually gave her the ring in our presence and then Hareyat Mekadeshishly, without any Tanoim, without any anything, then there'd be no possibilities of an Amasla. What we're talking about,
there has to be something that opened the door to an Amasla.
That's the point. In other words, it wasn't the original Adim who was done in front of aren't available, or he wasn't, who was Mekadesh her, he was Mekadesh her by proxy, let's say, or whatever, any number of possibilities. Yeah. The answer is shiny husband, Osi Baal, become Arab. No, because the difference is in that case, the husband himself is coming back and saying, effectively, I never divorced her. The whole case was over there that he was missing, and when we thought he had died, and then he comes back. I'm obviously not dead, and I didn't divorce her either. You can't prove from that from a case where she wasn't married before, and there's a rumor going around that it's gotcha. You can't prove from that you can manufacture an amasla like that. Okay, in that case, if you're saying that the husband is ma'arer, shouldn't the same thing apply even if she was married? It's foretin oinus, based and gave her permission to marry based on the aidness of this one aid. The answer is nisis the obje isura kansura bonam. The difference is if she actually got married, and either there was bia, or at least there was chuppah, where already merseret atma bia, where she's already ready for bia, that's already an issue because she's still a married woman. Kansura rabbanon, therefore the rabbanon canceled her in all those various ways. Niskancha, the layabi is sort of just accepting, and therefore, even though technically it's true, we should consider her an anusa and allow her to return to her first husband, because she did an issur by having relations with this other person without thoroughly checking into the matter, or at least doing chuppah with him, whatever, then therefore we cancel her and we prevent her from returning to her first husband. Niskancha, the layabi is sort of, but if she was only niskadish, there's no issur involved in accepting kedushin, so therefore la kansur rabbanan, therefore the rabbanan didn't cancel her. There's no issue in accepting Kedushin. That itself is not an issue.
Married?
Okay, it just means that she thought she's a widow. It turns out she's not. Fine, the Kedushin aren't valid.
Okay, the same thing a married woman should have checked.
You don't have to check so much before Kedushin. Accepting Kedushin, accepting a thing that's worth a shava prota from somebody who says Hareyat Mekudeshesli is not a serious issue as compared to actually having relations with him, which is an issue.
Of course.
Yeah, okay, well then there you go.
But the knas could just be as strong.
No, the chum didn't feel a need to make a knas in that case, we're saying. Omer Ravashi, kol kola delay schazik v'medina, any curl that was not confirmed in Beis Din, meaning that Beis Din didn't check to back to the original source, like we said on Amud Aleph, lav kolahu, then it can't be considered a valid curl. Also, V'amar Abashi, as we said before, kol debasim yisurin lechashin le. Any curl that comes out on a woman after she's married, we're not choshish for. So meaning Rashi says specifically what we mean debasim yisurin is that suppose, for example, you have a woman who got married today. Then a curl starts developing that she was actually niskadish to somebody else before she married this guy. We're not gonna ask her to her husband that she married, that she didn't assume with. We're also not gonna require that she's gonna need a get from the original guy from the guy who supposedly was Makadish her. So we're not gonna do that. That's what it means Boston is doing. Which implies that Rav Ashi would say that if the curl came out after Erusin, so in other words, similar scenario, but you have she was niskadish to Shimon, and afterwards rumors start developing that earlier that day or sometime previously she was niskadish to Reuven, then we would be choshish to it, and she would need, and she'd need Reuven would have to give her a get in order for her to be able to marry Shimon. Yeah, well, because there's no marriage, right? Rav Chaviva says, no, even if the rumor is only after Erusin, we're also not concerned. In fact, that's the halacha, that even if it's after Erusin, we're not concerned about it. By Pnuya, for example. Pnuya, where there's rumors that she was in Scottish, we have to be choshish, and we trace them back, or we find that there was a simcha going on or whatever, we have to be choshish for it, and she needs a get from that guy herself. She was unmarried. But here we're talking about that again. Shimon was Makadisher. Now rumors start developing that previously Reuven was Makadisher. Rav Chaviva is saying, and that's the halacha, we don't have to worry about that. We can ignore this supposed kedushin that Reuven did, unless we have solid evidence of it. So she can go ahead and continue with her Erusin and eventually her Nisuin to Shimon.
If indeed she was engaged to Reuven, so this happened to Zavir.
Indeed, but the fact is, we're saying that since that curl only came out after she was niskadish to Shimon, then we don't worry about it. Had it come out before she was niskadish to Shimon, yeah, we'd be concerned about it.
But was the curl only starts? Oh, what do you mean? How could she be engaged to Shimon if she was engaged to Reuven? That's when the curl starts.
But a curl could also start. She's niskadish to Reuven. She's not supposed to. We're looking forward to the wedding. We're not expecting her to marry anybody else, etc.
But as soon as the second party gets involved, that's when the call starts.
Maybe, but the fact is, we're saying we're not concerned about it. The fact that it didn't start at the beginning then means that we don't have to be choshish for it. Rashi says shalotis gan alzeh, because you don't want her to be repulsive to the second one. We don't want the second guy to say, look, you know, I thought I was marrying somebody who never had to do. All of a sudden, you were a Scottish to Reuven without me knowing about it. I don't want to have anything to do with you. We're not going to do that. They sent a message from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel. In the past, this was after Rav had passed away. So therefore, Rav is not available, so that's after Shmuel. Yolandeinu Rabbeinu. Yotzeh le'akil merishin. What happens if a curl comes out that a woman was niskadish to the first person? Uvach of a kitchen kedusha Torah. Then a second person comes in and makadish her with actual, real, full-fledged kedushin. Hariyat mekudeshli. Mahu, what's it in? The first one was just a curl, so we said if there wasn't a second person involved, fine, the Mishnah is telling us she needs to get misafik from him in order to be able to marry somebody else. Now we're talking about somebody was already there's a curl that she's married to that she's the Scottish to Reuven. Shimon now comes in and actually Makadish her. What's the deal? Shalach lo teitze, so he sends back them a message that she has to leave. What we mean by that, we'll talk about in a few lines. You have to check out the thing very carefully, find out where this curl originated from and whether it's true or not. And let me know what the story is. What does he mean? You have to check it out thoroughly. What do you mean? That if we were to find that the original Kedushin were not a proper Kedushin, let's say there was a Tanai or what have you, that you would say that then we're Mavato the curl. After the Shmuelu, Shmuel lived in Nahauda. Over Nahauda, Leim Avatin and Kola. And we said before, in Adam and Aleph, that in Leim Avatin Kola. And in Nahauda, we said they're not Mavatin or Kol. Now, okay, it's the yeshiva of Rav asking him the Shaila, and Rav is in Sura. Still, though, Tosa says you can assume that Shmuel would pass to him according to his own shitta. If his shitta, if the local shitta in Nahauda is you're not Mavatin or Kol, Then unless you find the original Edom and they deny it, then Shmuel wouldn't be paskening for them that you have to check it, that there's a case where you could be mavatal.
Hello.
No, what he means is like this. To even Galya Milsa, the Kedusha Kama Kedusha Malyaninu, what it means is, on the contrary, he means if you find that the original Kedusha are valid, Loit Tzricha Get Nisheni, she does not need a get from the second one. Teitzei means she has to leave the second one, not that the second one needs to give her a get. If the original Kedusha from Reuven are valid, that's it. She's an Eishes Ish at that point. She can't accept Kedusha from Shimon.
It wasn't the second one.
Right, that's the point. And the Gemara says a pliga de Rapuna, in which case, if that's what Shmuel means, then he's arguing with what Rapuna says. The Amar Rapuna, Eishesish to Poshta Yadu, Kibla Kedushin, Me'acham Mekudeshes. Rapuna says that if an Eishesish reaches out and accepts Kedushin from somebody else, she is Mekudesh. Why? Midir Rav Hamnuna, based on what Rav Hamnuna says. The Amar Rav Hamnuna, her Isha Sh'omer Labayla Gerashtani, we had this before, that if a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, Nemenes, we believe her. Chazaka, Enishim, is a Panem, a Pnei Baila, because there's a Chazaka that a woman is not going to be so chutzpah in front of her husband. So. That doesn't necessarily mean that she. No, not necessarily doesn't mean she's going to be entitled to collect her Ksuba on that basis. But at least, and the truth is, I mean, it doesn't mean really, I mean, it doesn't mean therefore that she can automatically marry the second guy. She's still going to need a proper get from her first husband. She's still going to need a proper get from her first husband if she wants to marry the second guy. All it means is that we're choshish that what she's saying may be valid, and therefore the second guy's kedushin are able to be tofus.
Yeah, but if she indeed got a she got gay, she was got a get. Where's the get? Where's the document?
Chalos.
Yeah.
If you can find the address, what if they're in the Siam? Okay. There is that chazaka, yeah. Mind you, the later post can say that nowadays people are much more chutzpah, but if that chazaka doesn't apply anymore. The idach, so okay, what would Shmuel answer to that? He would answer, Ki itma, I agree with what Rav Hamnuna says, but ki itma, the Rav Hamnuna befonav. Yes, but that only applies when the husband is present. She's in the presence of her husband and accepts kedushin from somebody else. Shaloi b'fanav, but if it's not in his presence, me'izo or me'izo, then yes, she might be chutzpahdik enough to accept kedushin from somebody else even though she's still married. So therefore, that's what Shmuel is saying. If you find the original kedushin are valid and Reuben's not around right now, so then she might feel free to accept kedushin from Shimon. Doesn't mean that those kedushin have any validity. Therefore, you can say she's still the kodesh to Reuben and Shimon's kedushin have no effect.
In you.
Okay. That Tosfos says actually that even Rav Hamnuna, it's true Rav Hamnuna is only talking about the fun of, but Rav Hamnuna is holding what Rav Hamnuna is saying according to the way Rav Hamnuna understands it is even if it's Shaloi b'fun of, we're going to be machmir at least she needs a get from the second guy to be on the safe side. Whereas Shmuel would say we don't. If it's Shaloi b'fun of, yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked. Now, going back to Shmuel's case, he said you have to check carefully into the situation. What happens if you can't get to the bottom of it? You can't get to the bottom of this rumor where it came from. Mahu, then what's the din? Amar Rav Huna, Megadish Rishon V'Nosa Sheni. In that case, the first person who there was a coil that he was Megadisher has to give her a get, and then the second one can marry her. Ava Megadish Sheni V'Nosa Rishon Loi. But you can't do it the other way around. You can't have the second guy divorce her and the first guy marry her, that not. My time, because people are going to think that you're allowed to remarry your grusha from Erison. People are not going to realize that there was a question on the first Erison. They're going to think that he was fully ma'ariser, then he divorced her, then the other guy was ma'ariser, and now she's returning to him, which you can't do.
You can't have the first guy, like what happened?
Again, we're talking about
the first guy's here.
No, he's not, well, maybe, but the point. Again, if he and she both deny it, that's different. Then maybe we could say that again, all this business of a coil can be talking about over here, where they themselves agree to it, but there's not any proper edim for it, or it could be that one of them admits it and the other one is denying it. And we'll learn in Kedushin a number of possible cases where he says I was Mekadosh you and she says you weren't, or vice versa. You know, all kinds of permutations like that we'll have in the third parent, I think it's in the third parent of Kedushin. Rav Shinan Abreder of Yidiyama, no, he says, Ach Megarash Sheni, we know it's Yerushin. No, actually, even in this case, even the second guy could give her a get, and the first one can then go ahead and marry her. Because, again, Meimer Amri, Ainir Rabbanim Kedushin, because, again, you're not worried about people are going to make a mistake. People are going to think that the Rabbanim have checked into the Kedushin. The Kedushin Chos have it, they're going to think that it was that the original Kedushin was Kedushin Chos. So therefore, we're not worried that they're going to think that you're allowed to be massive or shot in Erisin. Next, Yotzalah Kol Mizeh Mizemah. Another case, what happens if there's a Kol about two different men? There's a Kol that she was in the Scottish to Reuven, and later on, there's another Kol that she was in the Scottish to Shimon. In that case, also, the first one has to divorce her, only the second one can marry her. Even though it's only a curl, you still have the same concern that people are going to think the first one was properly Makadish her, and then he's remarrying her after she was in Scottish to somebody else. Amema says no, she's allowed to marry either one of them. Either one of them can give her a get, and the other one can marry. And the halacha is that she's in fact mutter to both of them.
Wow. Just in that case.
Just because the whole thing was based on Kohl. She can go back to the first one, right? Mishnah says, last Mishnah. Now that we've been spending the whole Masechta talking about the dinim of Gittin, now comes when are you supposed to actually give a get in the first place? What are grounds for divorce?
Bishama
says that a person is not supposed to divorce his wife unless he finds no dvar erva and him she's acting improperly. Bishilo says even if she burns or oversalts his food. Bishilo focuses on the word dover, that it's either erva or dover, either erva, a matter of erva, or dover, any other thing that he dislikes about her. Veshama says erva dover is one statement. Yeah, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva, I'm afilu matza acheres nahim. Rabbi Akiva says he can even divorce her if he finds another woman nicer than her. Shenema b'ha'yer levitin tzechein me'enef, because the pasuk says she doesn't find favor in his eyes.
Yeah. He went married once, Rabbi Akiva?
Rabbi Akiva apparently was married twice, because we know he was married to Rachel, the famous Rachel, the daughter of Kabbal Sevoa. We also find a medrash that the wife of Turnus Rufus, Rabbi Akiva's famous nemesis, became a Gioris and married him. The Ramashtas, after Ramashtas, Rachel died during Rabbi Akiva's lifetime, and then he married her.
Second person
he married was who? The famous Turnus Rufus we find throughout Shas as always the Rabbi Akiva's opponent. He was a Roman general or whatever. He's always Rabbi Akiva's opponent throughout Shas. They're always arguing against him and Midrashim and whatever. He's always arguing against Rabbi Akiva. We learned in Dorib briefly about it, that at one point he had the idea that he or maybe she, whatever, had the idea that we'll trap Rabbi Akiva, we'll get him involved in the znut, and that way he'll lose his chusim, and then we'll be able to overpower him. So she goes, dresses up and everything, and goes and tries to try and seduce Rabbi Akiva. So what is it? Rabbi Akiva saw her, he laughed, he cried, and he spit.
Oh, yeah.
She asked why he's laughing. He didn't want to tell her. Why are you crying? He spit. He cried and he laughed. That was the order of things. He spit. Why did you spit? Because that such beauty of yours is being used for such a degrading thing. What are you crying? Because eventually that beauty is going to be rotting away in the earth. What are you laughing? He didn't want to say why he's laughing. Why? Because he knew the Ruach HaKodesh. Eventually, her husband, Turnus Rufus, died, and she became a Gioris and married him. So he's laughing, knowing that you're trying to get me into an Avera. I'm going to end up being with you, but in a mischievous way, yeah.
Where is
it? We had it in the Dorim, we learned it. In the Dorim, it talks about six different sources of Rabbi Akiva's wealth. This is one of them, because when her husband died, she inherited all his wealth, and she brought it into the marriage with Rabbi Akiva. Yeah.
A better one. Next one, he can marry. Why does he have to divorce the first one?
It's true. In principle, he could have two. Let's say he doesn't have enough money to support two. I'll tell you, there is actually. I mean, it is broad in Sfarim. Even Rabbi Akiva is only talking about. Let's say, for example, we're talking about that the guy is attracted to some other woman and he's going to end up being mizana with her. So better, at least, than lesser of two evils. Then maybe is for him to do gerushin and marry this other one. But we're not just talking about Stam that he needs a new trophy wife or whatever. But
also has nothing to depend on. Beauty has to depend also on her might.
There is that also, yeah. On this, by the way, the Chassam Sofer has an interesting explanation. He says you find there's a Gemara in Brachas, for example, Ben Shemachdiach Tavshila Barabim. The word Machdiach Tavshila can actually be used of somebody who goes off the derech. For example, the Gemara says over there that the bracha for a Talmid Chacham that you shouldn't have Talmidim who go off the derech, or Makdiach Tafshila Berdavim, like Yeshua Notri, it says over there. I mean, literally means it ruins his food in public, but it means like somebody who publicly and then brazenly acts in a way against the Yiddishkeit. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer says that's what it means over here. I feel it's Dichat Tafshila. It means we're not just talking about she ruined his food, like, okay, now he has to go order in from a restaurant or whatever. It means that she's raising his children the wrong way. I'll tell you. I mean, we'll talk about tomorrow by the Siyum. There's a Sikha that the Rebbe talks about the opinions in this Mishnah and about what the Gemara talks about itself. I'll leave most of that for the Siyum tomorrow, Bez Hashem, if you can be here. I'll tell you briefly. The Rebbe refers it to the different kinds of avoda that a person has. Because Shammai said a person's avoda that he's involved in is like his wife. That's the his basherta thing, and therefore a person shouldn't give it up unless there's dvar erva, unless it's actually that kind of avoda is actually causing him to do the wrong thing. This also is a filish dichat apshilo. It's not just that you're actually causing you to do averus or whatever, but even just like it's hurting other aspects of your avodah, let's say. And Rabbi Akiva says, "Afilu mosa acheret na'ayman," you don't have a geshmak in it anymore. So the fact is, the halacha is like this hillel. So the Rebbe goes on to explain in the sicha, the halacha is like this hillel. To give up an avodah, to have to go in it, to mutchazich with it until you actually feel that it's causing you to do an avodah, fine. I mean, that's Bishamah's opinion. Most people are not capable of that. To say just because I don't have a geschmack in it, like the Bakiva says, that's not reason enough to give it up. The fact is the Eibishter assigned it to you. Hikdicha tapshila, when it's starting to cause problems in other areas, that's when it's time. Yeah. Okay. What's a Tanya? Omer b'tilla b'shamay, v'alei kvar nemar dover. Doesn't the pasuk is erbat dover, it says dover, which means any matter. So what are you saying? Only dvar erba. Omer l'hem b'shamay, v'alei kvar nemar erbat. Fine, what are you doing with the word erbat? Because if it only said the word ervas and not the word dover, then I would think that she could only be divorced because of erva, not because of dover, not because of anything else. Dover, that's why I have to say, according to us, that's why I have to say dover. So we can explain why it says both. Ervas is one reason and dover is the other reason. But according to you, what are you saying? And the Hebrew nema dover, nema erbas, and conversely, if it only said dover and it did not say erbas, how you see omer mishum dover tinas l'acher, mishum erva lo tinas l'acher? Maybe, because what's the scenario you have in the pasuk over there? The person divorces his wife, she remarries, then her second husband dies or divorces her, that she's not allowed to return to her first husband. If it only said dover, then you would think, fine, if her first husband divorces her because of dover, then she's allowed to marry somebody else. But if he divorces her because of erva, because of dvar erva, maybe she's not even allowed to remarry. L'chach nemar, Erbas, therefore it has to say Erbas as well. But that's what Bissillah says. In other words, we can understand why it has both words. What are you, Bishamai, doing with the word dover? Oh, Bishamai, they answer, hi, dover my abdulai. What do they use the word dover for? They use it for the Gzeh Shava. Nemar kan dover, but nemar lahalam dover. Alpishnai shnei edim, or alpishlei shnei edim, yokum dover. Meaning, ma lahalam shnei edim, afkan shnei edim. Just as any case in court requires two edim, So also a dvar erva means two edim. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that it's not just when we say like garishad masish elam ken matzad dvar erva, we don't just mean that he has reason to suspect or whatever. We mean that there's edim of not necessarily of arayus that would actually make her also to him. There's no question about that. But let's say, for example, princess, like we talked about before, that she's acting inappropriately in the street or whatever. But there's edim on it, not just rumors or whatever. Yeah, what?
So without edim, I mean, he would just suspect without edim. I mean,
maybe sometimes you have husbands who do, but okay. Well, Basilo makes it erva bedover. So Basilo would answer to that. Why? It doesn't say an erva in a matter, which would mean an erva which is found through the dover, through two edim. It says erva dover. Or Shammai would answer back, makes it oi erva oi dover. Yes, but it doesn't say either erva or dover. I'm fine. That's all one thing. Or Basilo says, lahochi, ksiv erva dover, demash mahochi, demash mahochi. Basilo said that's exactly why he uses the word erva dover, in order that you should be able to learn both things from it.
Without
the above, yeah. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Matzachayas, but my come, what's the underlying machlokus between the different opinions over here? Bidur Shlokish, they're arguing about what Rish Lakish said. Now, the lashon of the pasuk is, v'hoya im l'tim tachin da'inav, if the woman doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki matzaba ervas davar. Now, what does ki mean? The Omer Rish Lakish, the Omer Rish Lakish, ki mishamash b'dal l'shoynes. The word ki has four different meanings. E, dilma, ella, and daha. E is if, dilma perhaps, ella but, and daha because. And Rashi gives an example. The Rashi over here, Ki Meshamish, Ba'av L'Shonis, gives many, many examples from throughout Tanakh, examples of each one of the four of these. So therefore, how does it work out? Beit Shammai, Sabri, Beit Shammai learns the pasuk like this. If she doesn't find favor in his wife, Ki Matzaba Erves Dover means the Ha Matzaba Erves Dover. Why doesn't she find favor in his eyes? Because he found Erves Dover. And therefore, they say that's the only valid reason. Rabbi Akiva suffer. Ki matzaba erves davar. Where's Rabbi Akiva hold that it means ki means inami or also matzaba erves davar. So it's either one. Lo tim tachen meinav for whatever reason, or matzaba erves davar. Not dilma, but e if. That's if the first one e dilma elan dahaya. Incidentally, Rashi points out that you would think if and maybe are not that far apart, E and Dilma. Rashi points out there are examples where it needs to be one and not the other. For example, Rashi brings one from Parshas Ekev. Ki Saima Bilvavcha, Ki, you'll say in your heart, these Goyim are so mighty, these nations and Eretz Yisrael are so mighty, how are we going to conquer them? Lo Yisir Mehem, don't be afraid of them. If it's if, then what do you mean? If you say that, don't be afraid of them, but if you don't say it, then you can be afraid of them? No, it means perhaps you might say that, such and such. But don't say that because you shouldn't be afraid of them. So there's an example where that nuance makes a difference. That's not E, that's Dilma. Exactly. E is if. If this, then that. Dilma means perhaps this. Don't allow it to happen because that.
It's very close.
It's close, but there's that nuance of difference, yeah. I'm a little popular over. Now, what happens? Okay, he didn't find an erva, he didn't find a dover. What happens? What happens if he divorces her anyway? Is that considered? Do we force him to remarry her? Let's say Rashi says according to Bisilul. Let's say Bisilul is saying that you need erva or dover. So if there's neither one, no dvar erva, no ikdisatav shiloi. If he divorces her, does Beis Din force him to remarry her? Amalei. So he answers mitid gali rachmana gabi ones. Think of it this way. Since the pasuk has to tell us by an onus, by a man who raped a girl, lawyer, that he has that we force him to marry her if she wants, and the pasuk says loyuchal l'shalcho kol yamav, that he's not allowed to ever divorce her, meaning kol yamav amoid b'hachzer koi, it means, in other words, that throughout his life he always has the mitzvah to return her, meaning this is called a lava nitik l'eseh. If he divorces her, he doesn't get malchus, even though he's over analyzed eseh, because he instead has the eseh go remarry her. And undo it.
Yeah.
He can. Well, not just he can. He has a mitzvah essay to you. It's a lav on nitchek essay. It's a lav which is tied to an essay. If you did the lav, go make it up by doing the essay. The only ways you get malchus, the Rambam describes, let's say he's a kohen, let's say she died, let's say for whatever reason he can't remarry her, whatever, yeah. So there, Hosimu de Gali Rahmana, in that case, the Torah specifically says he has a mitzvah to remarry her. Avalacham, I of another, but over here, okay, he wasn't supposed to divorce her, but what's done is done. Once he's divorced her, we don't force him to remarry her. Amaleta Mashashi Ladova, Im Liber Lagarsha, what happens if a husband has in his mind that he plans to divorce her, but he is Shevet Takhtav of Mashamashte, and she's still living with him, and they're still together, and she doesn't know what's going on? Mahu, what's the din of that? He says, you can apply to that the pasuk, Al tachrish al re'echa ra, don't think evil against your neighbor, against your friend, when he's dwelling securely with you. In other words, don't do such a thing. You're not allowed to be living with her, intending to divorce her, and she doesn't know what's going on. There's two different dinim on that, which the Rambam brings in two different places. There's a sikha where that explains the necessity for the two dinim. One, you're not allowed to marry a woman intending to divorce her, and the other, unless you tell her in advance. And the other is what we're saying over here, that you can't, while you're married to her, be intending to divorce her without telling her.
So what do you have to do? You have to change your feelings or give her a yes?
Either one. If you change your feelings, good. If not, then yeah. But then, yeah.
What's the
We learned in Nidorim as well, yes, that children, B'nai Snua, is also, they can have negative traits, yeah. The word tachrish over here, by the way, the simple meaning of tachrish is to think. As Marsha points out, that it's also related to the word cherish, like a person who can't speak. So like, you're not speaking what you're thinking of. Don't do that. Tanya, we're learning a place. How you're a mayor, remember? Kashem sha'at deyes b'maycho, kach deyes b'noshim. Just as different people have different opinions when it comes to food, so they have different opinions as far as what they do with the ways that their wives act. You have the kind of person who a fly falls into his cup of what he's drinking. He throws away the whole cup without drinking it. This is the kind of applied to husband and wife relations. This is like tapus ben yehuda. He would lock the door every time he's leaving the house, and he would lock the door so she can't talk to anybody. Now, Rashi points out that's not a good thing. Just like when the fly falls into a cup, it's an overreaction to throw out the whole cup. The same way over here, this is an overreaction. What's going to happen? She's going to end up hating him for that he's keeping her at home all the time. She's going to wind up finding some way to be Mizana. And in fact, Rashi identifies the Papus Ben Yehuda over here. His wife was the famous or infamous Miriam Megabla Meshaya, who we learned in Shabbos and in a couple of other places, ended up being Mizana with a woman, and then their child was the infamous Yeshua Nozri. So we see that it all developed from him being overbearing about his wife. In Shabbos, for one thing, we might have mentioned Ben Sabda, Ben Tandira. That's it.
She
was Mizana. Her husband was Papus Ben Yehuda. She was Mizana with a Roman soldier. She became pregnant, right. And that's the famous guy, the famous Yeshua Nozri. When they claim that she became that the Holy Spirit made her pregnant, it wasn't so holy and it wasn't a spirit. The Gemara says over there her real name was Miriam Megadla Nishai, which means Miriam the hairdresser. After that, they started calling her Stoda, which means Sotas Domigaila. This one was immoral against her husband, and the Roman soldier was named Pandira. You can find there's very a couple of midrashim and all that refer to Yoshka as Ben Pandira for that reason.
It's really,
That was a part of that was taken out of the Gemara.
Yeah. That's part of the part that was censored out. Fine, Ma'amzer Tamid Chacham, Kodim Lekodim Lekodim Gadol Hamaretz, so he can be Ma'amzer, so yeah. Okay. Anyway, incidentally, I mean, there's another Papus Ben Yehuda in history also. There's a Papus Ben Yehuda who argued with Rabbi Akiva, how are you teaching Torah in public? And Rabbi Akiva told him the famous mashal of the fox and the fish, but that must have been a later one, because Rabbi Akiva, that whole story of Rabbi Akiva was 50 or 60 years after the Churban. This is during the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash, yeah. Next. Then you have a second kind of person, a fly falls into his cup. He throws out the fly and drinks the rest. This is the mid of a regular average person. That his wife talks with her brothers or with her other relatives, and he allows it. Then you have a person who a fly falls into his dish of food. And he sucks it out and eats it, and he eats the whole thing with the dissolved fly in it. And Marashah says the reason why the Gemara changed the metaphor, first we were talking about wine or whatever, and now we're talking about a dish. The difference is because even the most degraded person, if a fly falls into his cup, is not going to drink the actual fly. But if it fell into the dish and it got mixed in over there, he might say, the heck with it, and just eat it. Anyway. This is the middle of a bad person. He sees when his wife goes out, her head is uncovered, which is supposed to be covering her hair, or she's spinning in the marketplace, where then spinning in public, where there's a princess get the same, because if she has to raise and then lower her arms, or so her arms keep on getting exposed, and she's exposed from both sides, meaning Rashi says by her armpits. And Rashi describes Kedera Hadomius should serve us, like the Goyish women in France should have sort of near them today, and that their skin is visible at their sides. So apparently the Goyish women in France in Rashi's time either used to wear shirts with blouses with like a slit up the side, or they just had very wide sleeves, so when they lift up their arm you can see their armpit.
There's nothing mentioned about the neck.
The neck we've had other Gemaras about, but yeah. And that she bathes with men. not the him, but Adam, talk about what he means. So Rashi says, if she does that, then there's no question. Now, Graham the brother, then you have very strong evidence that she's a Zayner. Then, of course, she'd be also to him. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that's not the issue. The issue is rather, even the Adam Ra that we're talking about over here, who tolerates his wife acting in a certain princessic way, he's not going to tolerate something to that extent. And even a Kalash of a Kalash, even the most degraded woman, is not going to be like that. Ella, the Mokum Shibin Adam Rechtin. Rather, what we mean is, rather it means she bathes in the same place where men bathe. Meaning, in other words, they're getting dressed. They're already out of the bathhouse in the middle of getting dressed, and she's walking in to go. So she's not actually getting, she's not actually doing anything in front of them, but it's still the priestess thing. Continues the price. Zoom mitzvah from a Torah lekausha. This is the kind of case where it's a mitzvah in the Torah to divorce her. She never came up to her ervas for going. He finds her ervas dover, and the pasuk continues with shulchum adaysed. He sends her away from his house. Then the pasuk continues with holchav ahoysa leish acher. She goes and marries another man. Now, why does the pasuk need to say another? The holchav ahoysa leish. Obviously, it's another person. It means hakosav korei acher. The pasuk is calling him another kind of person. Loimah she'enza ben zuga l'rishin. He's not a partner with her first husband. The first one, his wife is acting as a rishas, and he sent her out of his house. The second one is having her come in. Well, he's welcoming her in, so he's not the same kind of person. Zocha sheni. So now, if the second one in the end is zocha shilcha, then he also ends up divorcing her, but he stays alive at least. Shenemo sneo ish achren the imlav, and if not kevarta, she ends up burying him. She ends up dying before her. Shenemo the pasuk continues oiki yomos ish achren. If he dies, meaning kedai who b'misa, because he deserves to die. Again, he knows that she's being priestess, and he still marries her anyway. So yeah.
Bad thing when a person walks out of the bathhouse and someone goes in. Men swimming and went in the pool and then goes.
So actually, based on our Gemara, it seems it's maybe not such a kosher thing to do.
Well, that's to get at a certain point they could see each other, but. Like men go out and swimming, and the women go and swimming. Isn't it?
They usually only go out once. They usually only start going in once all the men are out there. That's
at
the
pool, yeah.
Okay. No, but even out of the dressing room, I don't know. I mean, if you look at Rashi, the inich nefes layinim, she goes in, and there's sight la'achat ziyosan, the achat ziyosan. After they got on the bath, came loyfshin b'gdeim, when they're putting on their clothes. Yeah. I think we'll leave the last couple lines for tomorrow for the Siyum Bez
Hashem. Is that the solution, I suppose?
Yeah. So we'll do the first block of tradition. The Rambam gives a reason for it, which I'll talk about tomorrow at the Stephen vs. Hashem, and the Rebbe expands on it in a sicha also.
Thank you for calling us one of the
okay.
Oh yeah, there's a word with concept, a new bar concept. It says, Asher Adam is Rokhe Shamiz, Makshi Ebo,
Yipo Bera,
Asher Adam is Rokhe Shamiz, Asher Adam is Rokhe Shamiz, Asher Adam is Rokhe Shamiz, Asher
Adam is the consequences of what he does, yeah.
In other words, those people, they didn't look at the consequences. They were too strict about things, and it caused...
Not even necessarily too strict, but yeah, for example, in the case of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, if the host or the Chachamim over there had realized, you know what, this Bar Kamsa has the ear of Roman officials, we better be careful not to offend him like this in public, things would have been much different.
And what about the other examples that happened?
The other example also, for example, Ashok, the town of Gil and town of Goza of Turmalka, again, they might have, if they had realized the consequences, you know what, this is going to make the Romans attack them. Fine, let them take the town of Gil and the town of Goza, we'll get another one.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about. They were too sure of themselves, they're too sure no matter what happens, we're always safe, and therefore, yeah. I'm saying, it's not just a matter of being too strict, but not being too overconfident.
Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, it includes all that, yeah. I mentioned at the time, actually, Rabbi Victor Miller has a vote on it where he says it's not a matter, they weren't doing anything wrong, la-locha, per se, by kicking out by Kamsa.
Yeah.
It's just they weren't being prudent about it. However, everybody else says that not. Everybody else says it's an example of the Sinas Chinam, the infamous Sinas Chinam that destroyed the Second Mishnah. So, yes, in that case, they were objectively wrong up the la-locha in doing that as well.
Not because it was wrong up the
Allah.
It was
no, the Gemara's point is, in other words, yes, it was wrong up the, in other words, according to that, the point is it was wrong up the Allah to have Sinas Chinam, but it was also a lack of prudence. There was also a lack of realizing that there's Sinas Chinam is going to have consequences.
Wait a minute. It has double bearing, what you're saying. Was it the fact that they were not
prudent? The Gemara is focusing on the fact that they weren't prudent. The fact is, according to everybody who said that it was sinas chinam, then it was also, again, you have to also distinguish between the host and the chachamim who were there. The host, who actually picked up our content and threw him out, is actually doing sinas chinam. The other Chachamim who weren't protesting, I mean, there is a problem when you see somebody doing an Aveira, you're supposed to protest, but they didn't. But there's also, that was a lack of prudence, not realizing, hey, you know what, this guy is a hush of a guy, he could get us all in trouble.
And it would have failed?
Then they would have, what would they have done? I mean, they would have talked they would have talked the host out of kicking him out.
Punish
him for that's what we're saying. That's what I mean, but
even if they had sinas chinam and they still prevent him from leaving, the same defense.
That would have shown that they don't have such sinas chinam. It shows that they're willing to stick up for the guy. Yeah.